Spirit, stay with us, and may your word alone be spoken and heard through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So we heard another parable today from Matthew. Many spiritual teachers teach in parables. They are metaphors, symbols for some truths that are too complex and deep to be expressed in words exactly. So today I would like to weave together Jesus' parable of the weeds and the wheat with a familiar Cherokee parable about the two wolves. I know I will be mixing metaphors, but I think it works. You've probably heard, some of you have heard, the parable of the two wolves. And lest I malign that magnificent creature, the real creature, the wolf, remember, this is just a metaphor. The old Cherokee grandfather told his grandson that inside each human being, there's a conflict between two wolves. One is negative to our souls, spewing hatred, envy, greed, arrogance, self-pity, resentment, and lies. The other voice is helpful to us, offering joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, generosity, compassion, and faith. That sounds a lot like St. Paul's list of the gifts of the Spirit in Galatians. And also, our little Pentecost lip balms have some of those reminders in them. Well, the Cherokee grandson thought for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" And the grandfather replied, "The one you feed." Now, Jesus, also being human, also heard different thoughts in his mind. But his metaphor at this time, for this parable, is agricultural, the parable of the weeds and the wheat, which is found only in Matthew's gospel, interestingly. It's possible to interpret the seeds, both the wheat and the weeds, as people. But there's another way to think about it. We can think of the seeds as thoughts that come into our heads like two different voices, like wolves. He first tells how the gardener tolerates both the weeds and the wheat until the harvest, when the weeds will be gathered and burned as refuse. Then the second part of the lesson, when the disciples ask Jesus to explain the parable of the weeds, it's quite different from the actual parable. And there are a few other parables in the Bible after the weeds and the wheat before they ask this question. This is the one that stumps them. What does it mean? Now, this explanation, which was the second part of the gospel read today, is believed by biblical scholar Rudolf Bultmann that it's not actually Jesus' words that Matthew wrote in this explanation because he thought everyone was so confused about it. And if you look at it carefully, you'll see what Bultmann is talking about. It's a completely different voice in the second part in the explanation than in the first. The language is much more violent in the second part, fearful and anxious. Whereas the parable itself, Jesus himself, was not so afraid of Satan, was not afraid of what he calls the enemy. In the second part, it's changed from an enemy to the evil one, identified as the devil. Now, I don't like to talk about the devil or demons. I love to talk about Jesus. But since Matthew is pretty graphic today about a furnace of fire and weeping and gnashing of teeth, I want to offer some contradictory observations from very wise people. First of all, Jesus himself does not seem to be worried about evil. He says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not resist an evildoer and love your enemies." He knows he has enemies, but he wants to love them. And Martin Luther wrote, "The best way to drive out the devil is to laugh at him, because he cannot bear to be scorned." And modern writer about the devil, C.S. Lewis, in his masterpiece, The Screwtape Letters, wrote when asked if he actually believes in the devil, he said, "If by the devil you mean a power opposite to God, like God, self-existent before all eternity, the answer is certainly no. There is no uncreated being except God. God has no opposite. Despite all the evidence to the contrary, God is in charge." But I want to take a parenthesis here to say something else about evil. Evil is not simply wrong or bad, or even very, very wrong or very, very bad. Certain horrors like the Rwandan genocide, the Holocaust, killing sprees against school children, or in a Bible study, are not just very, very bad. Yet, moral philosophers today question the use of the word evil because it is so dangerous in human hands. Think of all the evil done in the name of fighting evil. The Inquisition, witch hunts. Most wars on both sides believe the enemy is evil, including ISIS today, who think they are combating evil. So it's a very humbling concept to talk about, and I'm going to go on and not talk about it, but Jesus uses the symbol of Satan, and in this gospel, we don't think he's the one who used the word evil. He used the symbol of Satan to describe distractions that have been stumbling blocks to his completing his mission or us completing our missions. The great stories of the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, found in all three synoptic gospels, he was tempted by three distractions: his own hunger after fasting for 40 days, the misuse or magical use of his powers, his talents, and political power. He resisted these temptations by using scripture to keep his focus on the great overarching vision of the kingdom. I like the way in just before Holy Communion it says, "Lift up your hearts." It's lifting up our vision to a more God vision and leaving the petty stuff down there. Jesus uses the word Satan again in Matthew 16 when he's teaching his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering and be killed. And Peter starts to argue with him, telling him, "Oh no, this can't be, you don't have to." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." That's what Jesus sees as Satan's job: keep us down in the petty details and make us forget the glorious good news. Jesus does not really believe that Peter is evil. Peter was the best of men, or Jesus would not have chosen him. But in that moment, Peter is planting a weed, saying that Jesus will not have to suffer and die. And Jesus is driving that thought, that weed, out of his mind to keep his focus on the larger picture, on the kingdom, where despite all the evidence to the contrary, God is in charge. Jesus knew there were enemies, many, many enemies, but the enemies were not demons. They were humans, ignorant, forgetful, selfish humans, which we all are sometimes. Needless to say, Jesus wants us to be better than that. And from the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." For Jesus, the word Satan simply means what distracts us from our God-given purpose and saps our energy and puts us in a bad mood. So, what does the parable of the weeds mean today to us? If we think of our minds as a garden, we can think of the wheat seeds of the kingdom, or to use the other metaphor, the voice of the good wolf, as Jesus' words, his life, and his person. And the weeds are the anxious, negative substance and thoughts, and sometimes substances and people that distract us and sometimes even depress and addict us. Envy, greed, hatred, arrogance, and self-pity. All humans are subject to these feelings at times. But if we recognize the voice as an attack of the negative wolf, we can neutralize it by not feeding it, limit its airtime in our minds so that it will go away. Jesus simply says to Peter's distraction, "Don't bother me, get behind me." On the other hand, when a voice comes into our minds of generosity, hope, serenity, compassion, and faith, we can take it to heart, dwell with it, memorize it, repeat it, savor it, give it attention. In other words, feed that good wolf. So the next time you feel in a bad mood, first ask yourself if you're tired or dehydrated. That's very often the case. But if that is not the cause, ask if there's a weed stuck in your mind and try to blow it away. The parable implies that at judgment day, all our weeds will be blown away like ashes, but our goodness, like glitter, will stick around. The gospel says, "The righteous shall shine like the sun in the kingdom." Our goodness are the seeds sown by Christ and nourished by us through worship, love-spreading works, and the friendship of the community. The church is full of good seeds, words, music, people, and the sacraments. And if you feel stuck from a negative wolf, from the voice of a negative wolf, come to the healing desk during communion, where a member of the healing team will give you good seeds instead to help you refocus on the bigger story of God's kingdom. God can handle whatever it is. Whatever it is that may be worrying you, turn it over. Maybe you have to turn it over every hour or minute, but eventually you'll starve that weed. Here's a wheat seed for you from Jesus. "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And here's one more. "Despite all the evidence to the contrary, you know who is in charge. God is in charge. Amen."